Good morning, everyone. According to my watch, it's 9:20, which means it's time for our hymn sing. So does anybody have a request for our first song today? Yes, Alita.
418, number 418, 418,
first and last. I'm getting there. 418, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. 1 and 5. Next one, yes, go ahead. 437. I'm sorry, then I didn't hear the verses. 1 and 3 of 437. This is my song. 437. Judith. 451. And I saw David's hand too, so we'll get to David's next. 451. Be thou my vision.
1 and 3.
Be thou my vision. 451.
Yeah.
David, did I see you have one? 431. Let there be peace on earth, number 431. I think that's a beautiful one to finish our hymn sing on, and Kathy's ringing our bell, so we will now continue with our service.
Thank you, Colleen. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. We're so glad that you could join us today here in the sanctuary and those of you that have joined us on Zoom. And I especially want to welcome any guests that we have today and, of course, our loyal members. Please remember to sign in and do your prayer requests on the white cards that you have in front of you and place them in the basket next to you so that we know who's here. And please join us in the fellowship hall after service for fellowship and conversation and refreshments. There's always something really tasty over there. And today is Flag Day, June 14th, the birthday of the Stars and Stripes. So happy Flag Day. And then also, please join us today again for The Chosen, Season 5. It's at 11 a.m. in the Camellia Room after fellowship time. And the June newsletter is available in the Narthex, and you may have also received it in your email or maybe by snail mail. And we have several June birthdays. We have Dina, Dan, Mick, Lynn, June, Joan, Stephen, Linda, and Marlene. Happy birthday month. And we also have some anniversaries. Reverend Ron and Joan Fox, Steve and Ann Mickle, Lori and myself. It's going to be our 38th wedding anniversary this month. Thank you. And Brian and Janine Porter. Happy anniversary. Are there any other announcements? No? If so, please prepare yourself for prayer and join me in the call to worship and stand as you're able. I have a message from God in my heart. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep.
How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
We will now sing our opening hymn, number 98, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
And we will now pass the peace. So please say hello and pass the peace to your neighbor.
Maybe that'll work.
Okay. There you go.
All righty. Good morning to you all in here, and also good morning to you all on Zoom. So let's welcome our church families online. Good morning to you, June. So glad to see you. And Kenny, good morning to you in Georgia, somewhere in the forest in Georgia. And good morning to Bill and April, and Chris, good morning to you, and the one on iPad, good morning. I'm so thankful that David's here this morning.
Yeah, our, there's no David up there.
I know. Answer to our prayer. We've been praying for him, and he said he's fully recovered. Yeah. Doesn't need any walker or cane. Praise the Lord. And Cheryl's is back to a full swing. She says she can walk 10 hours a day without any issue. So praise the Lord for that. And Brian and Janine married here in this sanctuary not long ago.
In this sanctuary.
They were like a teenagers then, and they probably are maybe still teenagers or early 20s. So congratulations on your anniversary. Yeah.
It is now time for our sharing of joys and concerns. If you raise your hand, Deb will give you the mic.
I'd like to also ask for continued prayers for my friend Elena. She's still in the hospital, and she's not doing well at all. But we had a really great celebration with her son, who graduated last week, so that was fun.
Thank you. Lori Pertell here. My friend Mackenzie's name is in the bulletin, so I appreciate that there's a group of people praying for her, but I just wanted to give you an update. Her father was very active in a booster club in Redlands, and they had the annual fundraiser for him at the golf course Friday, and she made it. She came out mostly for her mom, because her mom asked her to, and it's a hard day for her mom because it's all about missing her husband. But anyway, Mackenzie tried, and she golfed the first few holes with us, and then the heat just, with the chemo, the heat just, she couldn't handle it, so we made her go home. And then she got to rest, and she came back later for the banquet. But so she's doing okay, praise God. She's getting through this and has one more chemo treatment before a double mastectomy in the summer. So she's still got a lot of stuff ahead of her. And so I just really appreciate you keeping Mackenzie and her family in your prayers. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask for prayers for my wife. She's having her cataract surgery tomorrow morning, and of course she's nervous about it, but we know God's there and that it'll be a successful surgery. And
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I guess I'll step in. I have a joy. My great niece Reese had her first baby a couple days ago. I said, I'm not even sure what day it was, but his name is Jamie Lee. And I think this makes me a great, great uncle for the sixth time, I think. I kind of lost count. So anyway, prayers for Reese and Hayden and Jamie Lee.
Hi, this is Judy Salveson. My brother Matthew is in the Redlands Community Hospital, and he's doing well. He wanted to have a hospice nurse come and do a procedure with him, and I said, nope, you're going to the hospital, because the hospice was not placing him, and he was with me and for 3 weeks, and I just couldn't hardly take care of him. But he is there now there, and they have to place him. Only problem is they keep trying to place him out in places like Menifee and La Mirada and really far away. So I'd like prayers that he could be placed someplace closer. Thank you.
Does anyone on Zoom have something? Raise your hand and we'll let you unmute. Go ahead and unmute, June.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like prayers for my son. They have lost their home in San Jose, and it's been a long struggle trying to figure things out. Anyway, I just got word yesterday from my grandson that they are moving tomorrow from San Jose to Redding, California. I know no details. I know this is a huge move for them. They've been in San Jose 30-some years. So I just pray that God will go ahead of them and work things out. And meanwhile, I'm impatiently waiting to hear more. So I just pray for their safety and their guidance.
What's your son's name?
John.
Thank you, June. Anyone else?
I want to continue to pray for Helen. I spoke to Suzy, and she had a rough day the other day. And Helen is still hanging in there. But I want to continue our prayers for a peaceful passing. And so glad to see you, Lloyd, today, sitting in the choir.
Okay, please join me now in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, the troubles of this world so often cloud our vision and keep us from recognizing your presence. Though unseen by our eyes, your hands uphold us in our weakness and gently guide the path before us. Awaken our spirits so that we may remain mindful of you at all times. Live with a deeper awareness of your presence and walk each day in communion with you. For the glory of your name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. Let's remember the prayer request that's been shared, and also all those in our prayer list, and all those loved ones in our life circle. And we want to continue our prayers for our churches. Pray for the spiritual awakening everywhere in the world and for this nation. Lord Jesus, we have learned through this life here on earth that how weak we are, how incapable we are on so many things. Even though when we think we can manage our life, we actually don't. So we recognize our weakness before you and recognize also your hand. You are there with us, holding our hand that we may not stumble on our way. When we are under so many stress and feel like that our strength is draining out, you are there holding us up, even carrying us in your loving arms, that our life may be sustained. So as we worship together this morning, we recognize your presence in our lives, and we thank you for all that you have done for us, and thank you for your guiding hand, your sustaining presence. Without you, O Lord, our life may not have been sustained unto this day. So we give you all the glory. We give you all the credit for the things, wonderful thing that you have done for us. And we pray, O Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you will open our eyes onto the areas where we have not seen the things that you have done, that instead of struggling in our hearts, we will see your mighty hand working in our lives and giving glory to all that you have been doing for us. So our prayer is that you open our eyes, O Lord, that we may see you, that we may see how powerful you are, how gracious you are. Sometimes we feel unworthy to ask for your grace. But, O Lord, you are forever loving and you are forever faithful. You are there for us without failing. So we humbly recognize your grace, your goodness, and your mercy upon our journey once more, and we lift up our praise and thanksgiving unto you for who you are. And we pray, O Lord, that you continue to guide us, that we may humbly follow you. For you have plans for us, plans for to prosper us, plans to bless us, plans to give us your peace. So to that plan, O Lord, we yield. And we pray that your will be accomplished in our lives, in the life of our loved ones, upon this church, upon all your churches in the world, because we believe for another great spiritual awakening happening without boundaries all throughout this world. And we pray for this nation as well. You have blessed this nation for the last 250 years, and we thank you for that, and we pray that we continue to be the beacon of hope, light, and justice in the world. So now we join our prayers together, praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We will now sing His Eye is on the Sparrow. It is in your insert in your bulletin.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but once am I may see, His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Our scripture reading this morning is the 23rd Psalm, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. So glad to see you all in here, worshiping together. And I pray that as we open our hearts unto the Lord, we will have a special visit, personal visit from the Holy Spirit that touch our hearts and fill our hearts with the joy of living and speak unto us with His word this morning. A lovely retirement home in a small California town was much like any other you'd find in the country. The residents were overwhelmingly women. What's wrong with you guys? I don't know. I mean, I've been to many, many places, and it's all the same story. Eligible men were so scarce that whenever a new one moved in, word spread faster than free bingo night. One afternoon, four ladies were playing bridge in the recreation room when an elderly gentleman wandered in. Immediately, all four perked up. One of them flashed her brightest smile. "Hello there, you must be our newest resident." "I am," he replied with a smirk. "Just moved in this morning, thought I'd take a look around and meet everyone." Another lady leaned forward eagerly. "Where did you live before coming here?" "San Quentin." he answered. The room fell silent. San Quentin, she asked. Yes, he said, I was just released from their rehabilitation program after spending the last 30 years there. The women exchanged startled glances. Finally, a third lady summoned her courage and asked, my goodness, what were you in for? The old man shrugged. Well, since you ask, I murdered my wife. The room froze. No one said a word. Then the fourth lady sat up straight, adjusted the hair, smiled sweetly, and said, well, why didn't you say so? That means you are single. Any gentleman looking for a eligible lady, try some of the retirement home. You'll find a whole bunch. People often have different perceptions of the same object. As the woman saw the positive qualities in a stranger who might not seem like a good person. These varying perceptions are closely tied to individual attitude and perspectives. What is our outlook on life? Is it positive or negative? Consider the analogy of a cup, as King David did. A full cup symbolizes a satisfying life, while half cup suggests much discontent. Is our cup full, half full, or empty? Despite numerous personnel and national crises, David described his life as an overflowing cup. Let's explore together how he arrived at that conclusion. Psalm 23 is among the most commonly cited passages in the Bible. It conveys profound messages about God's character and our identity. It also includes prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. In a literal sense, which we will look at today, the psalm concisely summarizes David's life journey. I mean, if you would summarize your life, doesn't have to be long, probably we can finish it in 6 verses as David did. The psalm opens with, the Lord is my shepherd. This statement by David is deeply personal, shaped by his experience as a shepherd from a very young age. How old was David when he started shepherding? In 1 Samuel 16, God directs Samuel to Jesse's house in Bethlehem to anoint a new king. Jesse had 8 sons, but God did not choose 7 of them, starting from the oldest one. David was not immediately presented to Samuel because he was the youngest and was tending sheep. Researchers estimate that David was between 10 and 15 years old when he was anointed king over Israel. A couple of years after that anointment, David's 3 brothers were conscripted to fight the Philistines. According to the law, they needed to be at least 20 years old to be enlisted in the military, meaning the 5 younger sons were under 20 years. David would have been at least 5 years younger than his 3rd brother. When David volunteered to fight Goliath, Saul said to him, "You are just a young man." Even though David was still very young, the fact that he was left to care for the sheep when Samuel arrived indicates that he was already an experienced shepherd. So when David started shepherding, he could have been younger than 10 or even younger that age. I mean, younger than 10 or somewhere around that age. David's familiarity with shepherding from a young age influence his kingship. And he clearly understood God as his shepherd. So when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," that carries a lot of weight in that confession. David included phrases in the psalm that directly reference the darker aspects of his life. One such phrase is the valley of shadow of death, or the shadow of the dark valley, which signifies a place devoid of sunlight. The absence of sunlight means there are no shaded areas in the dark valley. I mean, sun doesn't go there. There's no shade, right? But it says in its expression, the shadow of the dark valley. David wanted to emphasize the darkness there. This makes the darkest valley an apt translation. Some modern translation says the darkest valley, and that's correct. David walked through the darkest valley and endured many low moments. Although he was anointed king as a boy, he didn't begin to reign until he was 30. Saul grew jealous of David's popularity and tried to kill him. David had valid reason to claim Saul's throne. He was already anointed by God. He was a skilled warrior and was favored by the people. Yet he chose not to fight against his own king and spent years as a fugitive, often hiding in caves, literally dark places. His close friendship with Saul's son, Jonathan, ended because Saul's animosity toward David. When Jonathan and Saul died in battle, David mourned for them. Next phrase David used to describe his life was "thy rod." I mean, this has a weighty, weighty meanings in it. When David unethically took Bathsheba and killed her husband Uriah, God used the human rod through the prophet Nathan to point out his wrongdoings and deliver God's judgment that the sword would never depart from David's house. God's word was indeed fulfilled. Amnon, David's first son, fell madly in love with Tamar, his half-sister and David's daughter, then violated her and immediately abandoned her. Tamar went to her brother Absalom, David's second son, and lived under his care. Absalom was infuriated against Amnon, his brother, and took revenge, killing him. Absalom fled from the palace for 3 years. After David's heart softened toward Absalom, David allowed him to return, but refused to see him for another 2 years. By then, the relationship between David and Absalom was too far apart to be restored. Absalom revolted against his father. David could not kill his own son and escaped to the wilderness. Absalom was killed by David's soldiers in a battle, and David wailed that he should have died in Absalom's place. Behind Absalom's revolt against David was Ahithophel. Ahithophel had been a very royal counselor to David, but he betrayed David and advised Absalom to rebel. Many biblical scholars agree that Ahithophel was a grandfather of Bathsheba, and he would have been very upset about what David did to Bathsheba, and eventually took Absalom's side, even advising him, Absalom, to sleep with David's concubines. David suffered the consequences of his sin and walked through even darker valleys. The third phrase David used to portray his life was, "in the presence of my enemies." He had enemies within his inner circle. his own sons and his counselor turned against him. In addition, Israel faced threats from surrounding countries, and David was at war with them constantly. Traditions and historical commentaries suggest that David fought 66 battles during his lifetime and survived 21 assassination attempts. His enemies always surrounded him. His entire life was a long, never-ending battle. In Psalm, David frequently lamented over his enemies. "Oh Lord, how many are my enemies," he said. Despite all the negative of the dark valleys, God's rod, and enemies, David still felt God's presence and confessed, as the Message translation puts it, "I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in rush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction." David then wraps up his life with, "My cup overflows." How do we understand it? Objectively speaking, there were many moments of celebration, for he was chosen as a king even though he was the youngest in the family. He never lost a single battle. He captured Jerusalem from the Jebusites and established it as the capital. And Jerusalem still exists today, and then they call it the city of David. But when David sat down to write Psalm 23, he included those phrases. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod, and in the presence of mine enemies," he was mindful of those painful moments, which were so many. "And my cup overflows" was rather his confession of faith. Many a time his cup was nearly empty or almost shattered. Yet he saw God's goodness and mercy following him all through difficult situations. God met all his deficiencies and indeed filled his cup to overflowing. Think about our lives. Our lives are no different from David's, marked by so many things lacking. Now the question is whether we can confess as David did. We often go to the Lord pleading for his intervention to change dire circumstances. But sometimes the changes we need are not in our circumstances, but in our eyes. We need to see that God is already at work in the present trouble. He leads our steps. His goodness and mercy always follow us along our path. We just need to see the goodness of God. Jim Smith went to church on Sunday morning. He heard the organist miss a note during the prelude, and he winced. He saw a teenager talking when everybody was supposed to be bowed in silent prayer. He felt like the usher was watching to see what he puts in the offering plate. And it made him boil. He caught the preacher making a slip of the tongue 5 times in the sermon by actual count. Has he been to our church? As he slipped out through the side door during the closing hymn, he muttered to himself, "Never again, what a bunch of clod and hypocrites." Ron Johns went to church one Sunday morning. He heard the organist play an arrangement of Mighty Fortress, and he thrilled at the majesty of it. He heard a young girl take a moment in the service to speak her simple, moving message of the difference her faith makes in her life. He was glad to see that this church was sharing in a special offering for the hungry children in Nigeria. He especially appreciated the sermon that Sunday. It answered a question that had bothered him for a long time. He thought as he walked out the doors of the church, how can a man come here and not feel the presence of God? Both men went to the same church on the same Sunday morning. Each found what he was looking for. So what do we see in our life? We look at the same cup. Do we feel empty? Do we see the empty cup? If we do, then we need to see that empty side of the cup once more with the lens of faith. Because when we see that with the lens of faith, then we'll see God's hand filling that cup, even make it overflowing. You may be praying for certain things, maybe for a long time, and you may still feel like that your cup remains the same, still empty. The reason is because you have not seen the other side of that cup through the lens of faith. When we do that, when we see through the lens of faith, we see God's guiding hand. We see God's goodness and mercy that follows us all the time. And we see that our cup is full and then it flows over. May we have that lens of faith. Amen.
It is now time for the presentations of our tithes and offerings. So you can leave it in the plate as you leave the sanctuary, or mail it into the office, or deliver it to the office. And we will now have special music by our choir.
Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus, first with power live. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. As we stand before you, Lord Jesus, we recognize your guiding hands. You have led us in green pastures to quiet waters. You have been there with us through our journey. Your goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our life. So, Lord, we thank you for all that wonderful thing that you have done for us, for this church. And we pray that you take this thanksgiving from our hands and use it to build your kingdom through the mission and ministries of this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn today is number 369, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed is assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, only dead rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Lord, we recognize your goodness and mercy all the days of our lives, and our life stories has been, O Lord, how wonderful it is because you have come into our lives. With you, we have come so many things, and we will continue to do so as long as you are there with us upon the journey. So thank you, Lord, for walking with us on our lifelong journey, giving us your grace, your mercy, and your blessing. So with this confidence of your presence, O Lord, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, He will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love and sure you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in peace, in faith, and in love. Amen.